the Word of God tonight to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27. There's a message in the series that we're doing on the day of the cross, and just now, these nights, in the character of Pontius Pilate, that we don't want to leave out of this series. The message that I preach tonight is what you would call a mission message. May God give us an old-time gospel mission service tonight in this meeting. The 27th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, verse 11. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down in the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person, see ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. We'll bow together in a word of prayer. We'll ask the Lord to help us now in this little time, in the closing minutes of this service, as we come to the Word. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee that the Lord is here. Never a time when we come together like this, but the Lord is with his people. And he's central. We want him to be central in everything that we do. And certainly now, to be central in the preaching of the Word. We thank thee for the history that we've read, this instructive passage that we have in the day of the cross, not long before the Savior was taken. We pray that thou wilt teach us, Lord, again the things of God. Teach us the gospel. There are those in this meeting that need to hear. They need to receive. They need to be saved. O God, speak to their heart. Prepare them now. Right now in this meeting, draw alongside, especially those that know not the Lord, and open their heart to divine truth. May they come to see their need. This is God's work. And so we pray. We pray for the moving of the Spirit of the living God. We pray for the Holy Ghost, who has been given as the Comforter to the people of the Lord, but also as the Convictor of the hearts of men, to reprove the world, as Jesus said, of sin, righteousness, and judgment. May we know that work tonight in this meeting. for Jesus' sake. Amen. The most important question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? We have it here in Matthew 27 and verse 22. The most important question that any man ever asked or answered. The question that was uttered by Pontius Pilate all these many years ago, almost 2,000 years ago. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Now, who's the man that asked this question? Well, there's a number of things that we can say about him. We know that he was a prominent man. He was the governor of the province of Judea. He was a Roman of excellent birth and education. He rose to a place of prominence as one of the rulers in the Roman Empire, so he was a prominent man. He was also a privileged man. How was he privileged? Well, first and foremost, through the fact that he met Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah. He had the opportunity of conversing with him. He stands in his presence for 5 or 6 hours. He knew the Lord to be innocent. He knew him to be faultless, to be innocent of any of the charges that were made against him. We know that he was troubled in his heart at the news that Jesus was the Son of God. We looked at that last Sunday night. So this man was privileged. He met the Lord. He conversed with him. Not only was he a prominent man and a privileged man, but he was a powerful man. Pilate had the authority to try, sentence, convict men, and put them to death. He killed many during his time of office. He slew many Jews for his own purposes and gratification. He slaughtered the Galileans and mingled their blood with their sacrifices. We know that because the gospel writer Luke tells us about that in chapter 13 in the opening verses. He was indignant and arrogant when Jesus didn't answer him. "Speakest thou not unto me?" he said to Jesus. "Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and I have power to release thee?" he said to the Lord. "Jesus, I can kill you, but Jesus, I can release you. Are you refusing to speak to me?" And of course the Lord, he informed him, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above." In other words, Pilate could not lift his little finger against Jesus Christ without divine permission. He could do nothing against the Lord. Pilate did not mean to entangle himself with Christ's trial and intended to commit himself neither for nor against him. But he impatiently cried out, "What shall I then do with Jesus, which is called Christ?" In spite of his strenuous and skillful efforts to avoid his duty and neglect his responsibility, Pilate found himself face to face with the inevitable Christ. My friends, in this meeting tonight, you are faced with the same question as Pontius Pilate asked these many years ago. Everyone here must answer this question. In fact, there's not a man or a woman or a young person who will not have answered that question in their lifetime, or perhaps tonight in this meeting, you will make a decision before you leave this service. It may be for heaven and for salvation. I pray that that will be so. People of God here tonight, pray that that will be so. We want to see you saved. We want to see you make the right decision in life. But it may be, on the other hand, that your decision will be for hell and for destruction. I pray that that will not be so. But the decision will be yours and you'll make it. Just as Pilate almost 2,000 years ago rose up from his judgment seat, and he led the Lord Jesus Christ out before the assembled audience that day, and he asked this very important question, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" So in like fashion, I want, as it were, to lead the Lord Jesus Christ out before this congregation, and I want to pose the very same question to you in this service. What will you do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Now make sure you respond in the right way, that you respond positively. Remember, Pilate answered this question wrongly, and he brought upon himself eternal ruin. I trust that you'll answer it wisely and receive the Lord tonight. Receive salvation, forgiveness, pardon and peace, everlasting life. That certainly is the desire of this preacher's heart. The most important question that any man ever asked or answered. Three simple things we want you to notice. First of all, it's an individual question. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? You'll notice that it's personal. You'll notice the personal pronoun that Pilate uses here, I. It matters not who we are in this world. This question must be asked by everyone. Pilate was a governor. He was a man of authority and power. And yet he asked this question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? He held a position of rank and standing, but he had to ask this question. He was a man of the world, a godless man by all accounts, and yet this question had to be posed. He was a man of riches and had much of this world's goods and treasures, and yet Pilate had to ask this question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Matters not what rank of society we fall into. Those of superior positions and those of mean estate must put this inquiry to their own souls and consciences. You may have risen to a position of fame and fortune, or you may be a nobody in this world, but here's a vital question that you must ask. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? You may hold rank and authority in the stations of this earth, or you may stem from the lowest of men and man's opinion, but no greater question could be posed. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? You may come from a wealthy background of grandeur and luxury, with all the world at your feet, or you may be a child of poverty, and yet you must face this question. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Your home may be a Christian home with godly parents, or a home that is steeped in sin and far away from God. And yet here's a question that must penetrate your soul. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Salvation is a very personal matter. The question here is not for your loved one. That will come by and by. The question is not for your neighbor tonight. The question is not for your work colleague or your school friend. It's not for some other man or woman. It's not for the person that's sitting beside you. My friend, this question is for you individually and personally. And God wants you to ask and answer this question in a personal fashion. And so forget about your work companion. Forget about your neighbor. Forget about your friend, your wife, your husband, your family member. It's individual. You must face it. You must give an answer. You must make a decision. You must put this question to your soul in the light of death, in the light of the hereafter, in the light of eternity, in the light of your precious, never-dying soul, in the light of heaven and hell. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Dr. Scarborough tells of being called to face a dying man to whom he had spoken many times about his soul. The dying man turned to his wife and said, "Wife, you have done the church going. You have done the praying. In a little while, I'm going out to meet God. You have done the rest of it. Can you face God for me?" The wife, weeping, nodded to Dr. Scarborough to answer. And he said to the poor lost man, "No, old man, nobody can answer to God for you. You must yourself take Christ as Savior or be lost forever." Every person for himself or herself must accept or reject Jesus Christ. It's an individual question. What shall I do then with Jesus? You see, God deals with us as individuals. And therefore we must ask the question individually. We must accept Christ individually. We must be saved individually. One day we're going to die as individuals. We're going to stand before God as individuals. We're going to give an account on that great day individually as we stand before God. What shall I do then with Jesus? It's an individual question. But it's also, as we see from the title of the message, an important question. We have asked many questions about many things in the past. And no doubt, if the Lord permits and we continue in this life, there's many, many more questions that we're going to ask ourselves in the future. But by far the most important question that anyone can ever ask or answer is the one that fell from the lips of Pontius Pilate 2,000 years ago. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? It's important for a number of reasons. It's important, first of all, because of the person that this question has to do with. The question is about Jesus Christ. I'm not asking you tonight what you will do with the church, whether it's the Free Presbyterian Church, or the Presbyterian Church, or the Methodist Church, or the Church of Ireland, or the Baptist Church, or the Elam Church, or any other denomination. That's not the question. I'm not asking you what you're going to do about baptism. I'm not asking you what you're going to do with this preacher or with any other preacher or what denomination you're going to follow or what church you're going to join. No, the question is infinitely more important. I'm asking you the simple question, what will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Christianity is not a creed. It is not a way of life as such. It is not a doctrine. It is not a religious organization. Christianity is a person. It is to do with the person of Jesus Christ. These are the two names used by Pilate in his inquiry, and they are wonderful titles. The name Jesus, or the word Jesus, is a form of the Old Testament name Joshua that means Jehovah is salvation. Jesus is the Savior. The very name means Savior. When the angel announced his birth, he said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And hence our question is important because you are dealing with the Savior tonight. The only Savior. If you reject Jesus, you are rejecting the Savior of your soul. He is the one that came into this world. He is the one that lived a perfect life of obedience and righteousness on our behalf. He is the one that went to the cross of Calvary and was crucified for our sins, who made an atonement there so that we might be saved. If you reject him, you reject the Savior. You reject Jesus. The word Christ in the Greek text means anointed. Jesus is the anointed one of God. On Sabbath day, at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus went into the synagogue at Nazareth and he opened up the Word of God and he turned to that passage in the Old Testament scriptures in the prophecy of Isaiah, and he read, as Luke chapter 4 and verse 18 records, "He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." He's Christ. He's the anointed one of God. If you reject Christ, you are rejecting the one that God has anointed to be the Savior of man. So the question is important because of the person that the question has to do with. It's Jesus Christ. The question is also important because of the occasion when the question was asked. Pilate would never get another opportunity, you see. He would never be as near to Jesus Christ again. Jesus would not pass that way. Pilate, you have asked yourself the most important question of your life. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? It's now or never. And so it was for Pilate. This was his opportunity. This occasion when Jesus stood before him, for him to be saved. Friend, you're confronted with this serious inquiry. And Jesus is passing this way. We believe that with all of our hearts. Every time we hold our gospel services, no matter who comes, who doesn't come, when we come together in God's house on the Sabbath day for the preaching of the gospel, in a wonderful and mysterious way, Jesus Christ passes by. He passes by in his word. He speaks through his word. He gives the opportunity for men to repent and be saved. And he's here tonight. He's offering you eternal life and joy and peace and happiness. This is an opportunity that may never come your way again. You don't know what tomorrow has in store. You don't know whether you'll be sitting in this church next Sabbath day at our Children's Day. You don't know if you'll sit any other Lord's Day in this church building. You don't know that. This might be your only opportunity. What are you going to do? It's an important occasion, isn't it? It's important because of the person that the question has to do with and because of the occasion when the question was asked. But it's also an important question because of the outcome. It decided his eternity. Depending on what Pilate did that day with Jesus, decided the eternity into which Pilate would go at the moment of death. And depending upon what you do with Jesus will decide what he will do with you one day. If we receive Christ, he will receive us. If we embrace him, he will embrace us. But my friends, if we reject him, he will reject us. If we refuse him and the offer of grace, he will refuse us one day. John 3:18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. It's either heaven or hell, glory or despair, salvation or damnation. Nobody can make you become a Christian. I wish I could. If I knew tonight as I look down and I see you in this church building that you weren't saved and somehow I could go right down to the pew in which you sit and I could speak to you personally and something that I would say to you would convince you to become a Christian, I would do that. But I can't make you become a Christian. Can't do that. Nobody can do that. If you refuse Christ, one day the scene is going to change. Now the question is, what will you do with Jesus? But you see, in the great day, the question will be, what will Jesus do with you? It's an important question. But there's one other thing I want you to notice, and it is this. It's an inescapable question. Pilate could not escape this question. He realized the question demanded action. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? He knew that he had to do something. He had to act. The question demanded an answer. There was no neutral ground. There was no such thing as sitting on the fence when it came to the Savior. Pilate earnestly tried to get rid of Jesus, to get him off his hands, but he could not. He tried to avoid making a decision. He tried to dodge the issue. He attempted in several ways. We'll come to that in the next message. It'll not be next week because of Children's Day, but God willing, if it pleases the Lord, we'll deal with that subject in 2 weeks from now. But just let me say this evening in brief to you that there was a number of ways that he tried to get rid of Jesus. He tried to palm him off onto the Jews. The New Testament tells us that in John 18:31. He said to the Jews, will you go and take him and judge him according to your law? I don't want to judge him. I don't want the Lord to stand before me. I don't want to make a decision. You take him. You judge him according to your law. But you see, according to the law of the Jews, Jesus was guilty of blasphemy and he deserved to die. And the Jews had no authority to put him to death. That's why they bring him to Pilate. Pilate's the man in charge. Pilate is the governor, the one who has the right to sentence men to death. So that plan didn't work. And then he tried to send them to Herod. Luke 23 tells us that Herod just happened to be in the city of Jerusalem at that time. And when Pilate heard that Jesus was from his jurisdiction, he tried to shift over the responsibility to Herod, and he sent him to Herod. But after a little while, when Herod had made fun of him and sport of him, he sent him right back to Pontius Pilate. Pilate could not get rid of Jesus. And then he suggested that he would whip him and let him go. No doubt he thought in his mind, if Jesus was scourged, and scourging was a terrible form of punishment, there were many who died beneath the scourging, that would satisfy these bloodthirsty Jews, and maybe they would release him, and I'll not have to make a decision about him. But that didn't work either. And then he tried to reason with the crowd. We read something of that tonight in this passage of Scripture. Look there at verse 22. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? They said to him, let him be crucified. The governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. What evil has he done that he's worthy of death? And he reasons with the people that have brought the Lord Jesus before him. But it didn't work either because they continue to cry, let him be crucified. And then he decided, I'll give them a choice. Let them choose between Barabbas, a notorious criminal, a man that was guilty of murder and sedition, who was in jail. Surely the people would not want him turned out onto the streets again. Let them choose between him and Jesus, the innocent Christ. Surely they would choose Barabbas. But to the amazement of Pontius Pilate, when he gave that opportunity, that choice to them, they cried out, release Barabbas, release Barabbas, and crucify Jesus. All his plans and schemes and his attempts to get rid of Jesus failed. He could not get him off his hands. It was then that he makes this appeal. Well, what will I do with him? What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they cried, let him be crucified. Pilate could not escape the question. It stared him straight in the eyes. He must decide. And so he calls for a basin of water. He washes his hands before the multitude. He speaks these words, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Pilate washed his hands. But does any sensible person believe that he thereby avoided any responsibility for the death of Jesus? He washed his hands in water as a historic display of his neutrality. But history judges that Pilate's hand nailed Jesus to the cross. And the Bible makes it plain that Pilate gave the sentence. Pilate made his decision. He handed Jesus over to be crucified. He couldn't escape the question, and neither can you. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ, is the unavoidable, inescapable question. You cannot be neutral. You cannot fail to take sides. You must do something, and you will do something with Jesus. You must be for him or against him. Jesus said plainly, he that is not with me is against me. You must love him or hate him. You must accept him or reject him. You must crown him or crucify him. You must confess him or deny him. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Face up to the question. Dear sinner, decide for Christ tonight. I say to you with all my heart, love him, accept him, crown him, receive him, confess him. I plead with your soul. Be reconciled to God. Why should you be lost? Why should you go out into eternity and die without the Savior and be lost in hell forevermore when the provision has been made in the person of Christ and the great work that he came to do? Come to the Savior tonight. Tonight the Lord comes to you as a friend. He comes to you as the Savior. And he comes knocking at your heart's door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Can you hear him knocking tonight? Maybe you felt that knock before. There's been that battle within. There's been that tugging within your heart. Jesus is knocking at the heart's door. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, any woman, any young person open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Oh, what a blessed invitation. You need to come to Christ. He's the friend. He's the Savior. To some, he's an unwelcomed visitor. When he comes knocking, there are those who say, I don't want to let him in. I don't want to have Jesus having a say in my life. And you shut him out. Well, as I said tonight, nobody can make you want the Savior. Nobody can save you. But you know, we'll try. We'll plead. We'll pray. We will implore till our dying day for you to come to Christ. But remember, one day the question will be, what shall Jesus do with this poor, wicked sinner who hardened his heart and rejected me and turned down every opportunity that I gave him and refused those gracious invitations to be saved and ignored the warnings? What shall I do with this poor sinner? What you do with him now determines what he will do with you then in the great eternity of God. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? An individual question, you must ask it personally. An important question, no more important question could be considered. An inescapable question, you can't escape it. You must decide. What will you do? The answer must come from you tonight. I trust that you'll do the right thing, that you'll come to him and come to him now. Let's pray.